The Eddie B. Sit edition and audio series of the Talmud Bavli.
Masechet Ketubot has been dedicated by our dear friend Mr. Elliot Shasho. Hashem Yishmineu V'Hayehu. May the zikut of the limud of Masechet Ketubot stand for him that he should have Be'azat Hashem, Hashanah Tovah Mborechet, Osher Ve'osher Ve'chavod, Shalom Bayit V'Hatzlacha Bechol Ma'aseh Yadav. And Be'azat Hashem, may he continue to be a supporter of Torah and all holy projects. Amen. Daf Mem Tet. Today's daf has been dedicated by Mr. Victor Gindi, Hashem Yishmineu V'Hayehu, for continued Hatzlacha in all his endeavors, continued success, Bri'ut, health, happiness, and all good things. Amen. Today's daf is being studied down in Nishmat Avraham ben Esther, Ruach Hashem, Tanihinu Begin Eden. Amen. Today's daf is being studied down in Nishmat Sophia Bat Frida, Ruach Hashem, Tanihinu Begin Eden. Amen. Today's daf is being studied Rafu'a Shelema, Yosef ben Sara, Rahamim ben Adel, Vesara bat Rahayl Enna, Refar Lem, Betov Shear Chole Amo Yisrael. Amen. We begin today's daf on Mem Het Amud Bet, and we are going to begin 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 lines from the bottom. Tana, we have a statement from a Braita. Masar ha'av l'shluchei ha'ba'al. Let's say a case where the father gave her over to the messengers of the husband for hupa'a vizinta, and at that point already she committed znut, harezu behenek, so a punishment is going to be behenek. Now let's review the laws. Normally a girl who's in arusa, she's engaged, and she commits znut, so her punishment is sekilah. However, once a girl is married and she commits zanut, so the punishment she gets is chinik, which is strangulation. So the hadush of this braita is that once she's given over already to the husband's messengers, already she's subject now to the regular law of a nisua, which would be chinik. So the Gemara asks, Mina hanemile, what is the biblical source for this halakha? Amar bi ami barhama, amar kira. The pasuk says, "Liznot bet abiha." Now that is the pasuk that's talking about a girl that commits znut when she's in arusa, and she will get sikila. So the pasuk says, "Liznot bet abiha," that only when she commits this znut bet abiha, when she's still in the father's jurisdiction. Prat l'shemasara av l'shluchei ha'ba'al. So it's coming to exclude a case where the father gave her over to the shiluchim of the Baal, now she's in the jurisdiction of the husband, and therefore the punishment is going to be chenek. So the Gemara Zuz said, ve'ema prat shenichnesa lechupa ve'lo nib'ayla. Maybe it's coming to exclude a case where already she was given over to chupa, but she did not have bi'ayat, which means maybe the chidush is that only in a case already where she was given over to chupa, but even if she didn't have bi'ayat, so since she was given over, which means nechnesal chupa, she had the chupa, then she'll be subject to henik, because that's already considered married. However, maybe if she was just given over to the messengers, maybe that's not considered nesu'ah yet. So amarava, amarli, ami, so he said, ami said, chupa, behedya ketiva. The fact that once a girl is given over to chupa, even though there's no bi'ah, we know that's for sure that's considered nisu'in already, and the punishment is going to be chenik. I don't need a statement for that. How do you know that? Because it says in the pasuk, ki yehyeh na'ara betula me'orasa le'ish. That if a girl is going to be na'ara betula me'orasa. So the Gemara analyzes, and this is the case where she committed znut and she's punishable by sekila. So the Gemara analyzes the pasuk, na'ara ve'lo bogeret. That the law of sikita only applies to a na'ara, not a bogeret. She was 12 years old, not 12 and 6 months. Betula velo be'ula. When it says betula, it means she's a betula, she's a virgin and not a be'ula. Me'orasa, what does me'orasa teach me? Velo nisua, not married. My nisua, now what does it mean, not married? Ilima nisua mamash. If you tell me that she's actually married, that when she's married there's no more sikila, hainu betula, so that's the case already of betula velo be'ula, which means once she's already married she's not a betula anymore, so he excluded her already from the derasha betula velo be'ula. So what is nisua coming to exclude? When it says in the pasuk meorasa, so must be coming to exclude edalav shenichnesa lechupa velo nibrela. That once she enters chupa, she's considered a nisua, and therefore our punishment is chedek. So therefore we know that already from a pasuk. So therefore, the chedush of the braita must be what? That once she's even given over to the messengers of the husband, she's given over to them, that's already she's considered a nisua, that if she commits znut at that point, she's going to get chenek. She's not considered in the jurisdiction of the father. So now the Gemara asks the question. Ve'ema, let us say, hecha dehadra lebenasha, hadra lemilta kamaita, which means, once you tell me that once you give her over to the shiruchin of the husband, so now she's considered a nisua in the sense that she commits zinut, that she's going to be hayav henek, like a nisua. So the question is it even going to be, let's say she turned around and came back to her father's house. Do we say once she left her father's house, she left, finished? Even though she turns back and tries to come back, it's too late. Or do we say, no, that what? So long as she's under the husband's jurisdiction, meaning by the husband's messengers, then she, if she commits zinut, she'll be hayav henek. But if she turns around and comes back, maybe she'll be hayav sekila. So that's the Gemara's question. If she turns back, what is going to be the deen? So Amar Abba, that question, Kvar Paska Tana Debed Bishmael, already was ruled by Tana Debed Bishmael. The Tana Debed Bishmael, we have a pasuk. Veneder Almana Ugrusha. The vow of an almana or a girusha, it's a lady that was widowed or divorced, she makes a vow, kol asher asera al nafsha, whatever she forbids on herself, yakum aleha, which is the vow is considered a vow, she must keep her vow. Matalmudomar, now what's the hadush of this pasuk? Vahalo mutzet mechlal av, umutzet mechlal baal. Do I need a pasuk to come and tell me that an almana's vows are vows? Of course, she's out of her father's domain, because she got married already, and she's out of her husband's domain because he died, or they got divorced. So what is the chidush of this pasuk? Of course her vows are vows. The husband is not around to nullify them, and the father is not there because she left her father's jurisdiction. So of course her vows are vows. What is the pasuk teaching me? The case must be talking about the case is talking about where the father gave over his daughter to the messengers of the husband, or the father's messengers gave the girl over to the messengers of the husband, and she became a widow on the road, which means her husband died, or nitkaresha, or let's say at that point she got divorced. Heach ani koreba. How do I consider her now regarding the vows that she makes? Bet abiha shilzu. Do I consider, well, since she really didn't go into the jurisdiction of the husband yet and he died, so maybe she's considered going back to her father's house and therefore he has to nullify them. Or bet ba'la shilzu. Or do I say no, once already she went into the husband's jurisdiction, even though he died, so therefore she's not considered going back to the father's jurisdiction, and therefore her vows are going to be considered vows. So the chidush is of the pasuk, once already she left the jurisdiction of the father, even for a short amount of time, shuv eno yachol lehafer, he loses his rights to making hafara. So we want to say the same thing, like just once you're ready, that's the pasuk. Veneder almanah ugrusha. It's talking about a case where the father gave her over to the messenger of the husband, and then the husband died. The hadush is, the vows are on her. The father cannot nullify them, which means she's not considered returning to the father's house, because once she's in the jurisdiction of the husband, she cannot come back. So similarly, when it comes to the punishment, once already she was given over to the messengers of the husband, her punishment is henik, if she commits znut, and even if she turns around and comes back, it doesn't matter. She's already given over, and therefore it always is going to be henik. Now Rashi over here, the long Rashi, but it just explains us this concept of nedarim. Look at the Rashi, dibura matchil ela haresh masar. Kelomar lo bahakatuv the almana v'legrusha min nisuin. The pasuk by nedarim is not giving you a regular case of an almana or a gerusha from marriage. Tehaketiv ba, because we have a pasuk already that says ve'im bet isha nadara, that if she makes the neder when she's married, isha yefirenu, the husband nullifies. Ve'hare in isha kayam. Now in the case where she's a widow, the husband's not around anymore. Ela le'almana al yed, so the pasuk must be coming to tell me a case of almana al yedem mesirat sheluhin, which means she was given over to the messengers. She'ad achshav lo pirshu lecha ketuvim, because until this point, the Torah only explained to us ela mishpat noderet bebet avia, when she makes a vow, when she's still in her father's house. Umishpat noderet bebet isha, or in the case where she makes a vow when she is married. Vezush shenadra baderech, this case is that she vowed on the road. Mishmasua the shluchim, which was given over to the messengers, en ani yodea heach ani koreba. I don't know how to consider it. In bet avia, she still considered in the father's jurisdiction, and therefore he nullifies. In bet isha, she considered married, and therefore the husband nullifies. Defichach ba katuv ze vela mitcha. So the pasuk teaches us shelo tekra la bet avia. She's not considered in the father's jurisdiction. Ela bet isha, she's considered by the husband. Velo nitrokna. The power of the husband is not emptied back to the father when he dies, which means when he dies, it's finished. It's her power now. It doesn't go back to the father. She left. The father cannot nullify. Alma lo hadra lemilta kamaita, which means she cannot go back. She does not go back to her original status. Because if, let's say, she was just an arusa, and let's say the husband died before she was given over to the messengers, then already the deen is, like it says in the Darim Daf Ayin, met habal, if the husband dies from arusa stage, from the irusin, nitrokna v'shut le'ab, then the power is emptied back to the father. And they learn that from Pesukim. So the hadush over here is that when she's given over, and now let's say she made a vow, and then the husband dies, so she does not go back to the father's house. So the Gemara wants to say similarly, she will not go back to the father's house. Le'onyan Henek, that means if she committed znut once she was given over to the messengers, she's considered now subject to the law of Henek. Comes the Gemara, continues. Amar Rapapa. Af anan nametanina. We also learned in a Mishnah that once the girl is given over to the messengers of the husband, so now if she commits znut, it's considered punishable by henik. How? It says, Haba al ne'ara ha'morasa. If a person goes with a ne'ara ha'morasa, eno hayav ad shetehe ne'ara. She has to be a ne'ara. You're not hayav sekira until she's a ne'ara, being 12 years old. Betula, she has to be a virgin. Be'orasa, and she has to be engaged. Vehi bebet avia, and she has to be in her father's jurisdiction. Well, Bishlama ne'ara, I understand why you have to tell me ne'ara velo bogeret, to exclude a bogeret. Betula, to exclude velo be'ula, not if she was already had relations. Be'orasa, I know what the word be'orasa has to come to exclude velo nesu'a. Bebet aviha lebe'ute mai, what is bebet aviha coming to exclude? Lav lebe'ute masara av l'shluche ha'ba'al. It must be coming to exclude the case that has to be bet aviha. That's only in the father's jurisdiction. To exclude the case where the father gave her over to the messengers, so now she's already out of the father's jurisdiction, therefore she's not subject to sekila. Amar of Nahman bar Yitzhak, af anan amitanina. We also learned to in a Mishnah, haba al eshet ish, a person that has relations with eshet ish, kevan shenichnesa l'rishut ha'ba'al, once already she entered the jurisdiction of the husband, l'nisu'in, for the sake of marriage, afal pi shelo nev'ayla, even though she did not have relations yet, haba aleha hare ze behenik. So the punishment is going to be henik. Nichnesa l'rishut ha'ba'al be'alma. And it says in the Mishnah, she entered the domain of the husband. It doesn't say that they actually entered chupa. It's mashmah nichnesa l'rishut, once she entered the domain, even if she was given over to the messengers. And what? Her punishment is going to be henik. Shba'mina. So we learn from here that what? Again, from the different proofs, that once she's given over to the messengers, it's considered in the husband's jurisdiction, l'onyan, if she commits znut, she's going to be punishable by the punishment of henik. Comes the Mishnah. Ha'av eno hayab b'mezonot bito. A father is not responsible for feeding mezonot, food, to his daughter. Which means, so long as he's alive, it is not his responsibility. Midrazu midrash darash Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah lefnei hachamim. This is the derasha that Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah said over in front of the hachamim, bekerem beYavne, at the literally the vineyard at Yavne. That was the nickname they used to give the bet midrash in Yavne, where Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah was the Rosh Hashiva. They deposed Rabban Gamliel and they put up Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. On that day, he said this derasha. The reason why they called it Yavne, the yeshiva, Kerem B'Yavneh, that is, because the rabbis used to sit in a formation like a vineyard. So they called it Kerem B'Yavneh. And on that day that they nominated Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, he gave the following derasha: Habanim Yirshu. The boys inherit their father, obviously, after he dies. Vabanot Yazunu. And the girls will be fed, which means the girls get from the estate Mizonot. They get fed. Just like the boys do not inherit their father until after he dies, until the father dies. So to the girls, they do not inherit their father, they do not eat mizonot, only after their father dies. Which means, the way that she tells us, very important, there are two conditions that the rabbis established. They are called Tanai Ketubah, which means besides the obligation in the Ketubah that the husband says he's going to give his wife money when if he gets divorced or he dies, there is a law also called Tanai Ketubah, that the rabbis established different conditions in the Ketubah. So that she tells us the two conditions that are in the Ketubah. Number one, Habanim Yirshu Ketobet Ketubat Benin Dichrin, which means the boys are going to inherit their mother's ketubah, which means it's to her advantage, which means her ketubah goes to her. But if she dies, so the law is going to be that her sons that she has from that husband will inherit the monies of the ketubah. Later on we're going to learn, it says, Benin Dichrin, this is what they write in the ketubah. The boys, Diyahavyin Lechi Minai, that I have from you, Inun Yartin Kesef Ketubatech, they are going to inherit the money of your ketubah. Yeter al holakon de'imahuhon, besides the money that they inherit with their brothers, but being that they're your children, they're going to inherit also ketubah. V'hainu abanim yirshu ketovet benin dichrin. Now, the next verse, she says, v'abanot yazur. This is the second takana that the rabbis established that they write in the ketubah. Benin o benan nukban, meaning your girls, Diyahavyen lechiminai, that you have from me, which means the daughters, Inun Yahavin Yatbin Bibeti, they will be supported from my house, Umidzan Minichsai, and they will get support, meaning Mizonot, Ad de Tibgiran, until they become Bogrot, or Ad Tilkihon Gvin, or until they get married, whichever one comes first. So you see, there's two takanot. There's a takana benin dechrin, which means the children inherit their mother's ketubah. There's a second takana that was written in the ketubah, that the girls will be supported until they became a bogeret or they get married. So the Bin Azaz Drasha was that just like the boys don't inherit the ketubah until after the death, so too the girls do not get mezonot until after the father dies. So those are the, again, two takanot that they established, and that was the drasha of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. So the Gemara says, "Bemezonot bito hu de'eno hayav." So the Gemara makes a diuk. He's not hayav, the father, that is, to support his daughters to give them food, mezonot. Implication: Ha bemezonot beno hayav. But the mezonot of his son, he is hayav. So that's the first implication. The daughter, no, but the son, yes. And now the Gemara makes another diuk, another implication. Bito nameh, even his daughter, when we talk about the obligation of the father supporting the daughter, chobahu deleka, there's no obligation, like the Mishnah's language, ha'av eno hayav. But the Gemara makes a diuk, ha mitzvah ika, but there is a mitzvah. So again, let's get clear the two implications that the Gemara is making from our Mishnah. Number one, that there's no chiyuv by the girls to support them, but there is a chayuv for the boys. And by the girls, even though there's no chayuv, there is a mitzvah. Mane matnitin, who is the author of our Mishnah? Lo Rabbi Meir, lo Rabbi Yehuda, v'lo Rabbi Yohanan b'Meruka. It's none of these three rabbis. Netanya, we have a braita. Mitzvah lazun et banot. So the first shita says, it is indeed a mitzvah to support the daughters, the girls. Kal vachomer lebanim, all the more so It's a mitzvah to support the boys, the aske b'torah, because they are osik b'torah, they learn. So they will kol sheken, if you have to support the girls, certainly you have to support the boys. Divrei Rabbi Meir, that's Rabbi Meir's opinion. Rabbi Yehuda omer mitzvah lazur et banim. He says it's a mitzvah to support the boys, v'kal v'chomer lebanot, and all the more so for the girls, mishum ziluta. Because of the ziluta. Ziluta means that it wouldn't be befitting. If you're not going to support the girls, you're going to have to go around collecting at the doors. Therefore, it's not befitting. It's embarrassing for them. So therefore, he says, it's a mitzvah to support the boys, all the more so the girls. Rabbi Yohanan ben Baruch HaOmer, chova lazun et habanot. It is indeed an obligation to support the girls, le'achar mitat avihen, only after the father dies. Aval behaye avihen, elu ve'elu enam nizunim. But when the father is alive, both the boys and the girls are not supported. So now the Gemara is going to review to see why the Mishnah cannot be going like any of these opinions. Mani matnitin, who's the author of our Mishnah? Ir Rabbi Meir. If you can tell me, it's Rabbi Meir, ha'amar banim mitzvah. Well, the Rabbi Meir shitam, the blaita was that indeed it's a mitzvah to support the boys. Now, from our Mishnah was mashma that is actually a choba, because we made a diuk that the girls you're not hayav, but the boys you're hayav. Where the Bimeir says that the boys it's only a mitzvah. Rabbi Yehuda ha'amar banim namim mitzvah. Also, Rabbi Yehuda also learned that the banim, the boys, it's only a mitzvah. Whereas our Mishnah, the implication sounds like it is a hayuv. Rabbi Yohanan ben Beroka afilu mitzvah namelech leka. Which is according to the Yohanan ben Berokai, he says it's not even a mitzvah at all. Not for the boys and not for the girls, which is not the implication of our Mishnah. So therefore the question is, who is the opinion of our mitzvah, of our Mishnah? So the Gemara says, Iba'etemar, Rabbi Meir, Iba'etemar, Rabbi Yehuda, Iba'etemar, Rabbi Yohanan ben Berokah. I could square off the Mishnah according to any of the three opinions. So the Gemara explains how it could be squared off according to Rabbi Meir. Iba'etemar, Rabbi Meir, V'hachi kamar. And this is what the Mishnah is saying, Alibad Rabbi Meir. Read the Mishnah like this. Ha'av eno hayab b'mezonot. He is not obligated in giving mizonot to his daughter. And read into the Mishnah as follows. And really, he's not obligated to feed his sons as well. But the implication is that a mitzvah for his daughter, there is. And all the more so is a mitzvah for the boys because they study Torah. So why then did the Mishnah say that ha'av eno hayav b'mizonot bito? He could have said the Mishnah also ha'av eno hayav b'mizonot beno. So the Gemara says hakamash ma'alan, the chiddush is da'afilu bito, that even his daughter chobahu deleka ha'mitzvah ika. That there's still a mitzvah. Which you might have thought that the girls, there's not even a mitzvah. So therefore the Mishnah wrote by the girls to make the implication. Which means, for sure the boys, it's a mitzvah. We don't have to tell you that, because they study Torah, therefore you have to support them. The chiddush of the Mishnah is the reason why it chose the girl to say, ha'avinu hayav mizonot bito. So you'll make the implication, yeah, you're not hayav, but there is a mitzvah, because you might have thought there's not even a mitzvah. So that's why the Mishnah chose bito. But who had deen, the father's not obligated to support the son as well. So therefore the Mishnah can be going like Rabbi Meir. And therefore the Mishnah is coming to really say the father is not obligated to support the daughters, and really who had deen the boys. And what? But it's a mitzvah to support the daughters, that's the implication. Kavahomer, the boys. Aye, so why did you only say ha'avinu hayav bibito? You could have said ha'avinu hayav lazun bino, because the chiddush is in bito. You might have thought that not only it's not a chobah, you might have thought it's not even a mitzvah. Right? If it would have said Avinu Hayav b'mizonot beno, I would have said, but bito, not only there's no hayuv, there's not even a mitzvah. So therefore it chose bito in order to give me the implication. Comes the Gemara and says, V'ibahitim, I could say, Rabbi Yehuda, that the Mishnah is going to Rabbi Yehuda, V'achi ka'amar, Ha'av eno hayav b'mizonot bito. The father is not obligated in the mizonot of bito, V'chol shechen libno. And all the more so, he's not going to be obligated in the beno. Because according to Rabbi Yehuda, there's a bigger logic to say that the girl should be hayav, he should be hayav to feed the girls because it's ziluta. Because otherwise they're going to have to go collect, and it's embarrassing for a girl to go to have to collect. So if you tell me that he's not hayav for his girls, Kol Sheker, where there's a Ziluta factor, Kol Sheker, he's not going to be Hayav for the boys. HaMitzvah Bibno Ika. But I can make a diuk that in the son, for his sons, it is a mitzvah. And once I make the diuk for his sons that it's a mitzvah, Kal Vachomer Lebanot, or the more so it'll be a mitzvah for the girls because of the Ziluta factor. So that's how the Biyuda can say and learn the Mishnah. Vehadiktani Bito. Oh, so then why did the Mishnah say Bito, which means the Mishnah could have said Ha'av Enu Hayav Lazun Et Beno. Why did the Mishnah choose Bito? Hakamash Ma'lan Da'afilu Bito Choba Leka. Which means you would have thought that maybe the daughter, since there's a Ziluta factor, there's an obligation to support. That's why the Mishnah had come along and say that Afilu Bito Chova Leka, that there's no Choba. See, according to the Biyudah, there's a bigger Sevarah to say that the girls are, that the person, the father's Hayav in the Mizunot of the girls, because of the Ziluta factor. So therefore, the Mishnah comes along and has to tell me, Ha'av Eno Hayav B'Mizunot Bito, because there's a bigger Sevarah to think that they would be Hayav because of Ziluta. Kamashmalan, no. Not Hayav by the girls, and for that matter, all the more so not Hayav by the boys, but there's a mitzvah by both. So therefore, that could be according to Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yohanan ben Beroka. It could even be going like Rabbi Yohanan ben Beroka. He's not Hayav in Mizonot Bito, Vehu Adin Libno. And who Adin is Hayav in Mizonot of his son. Vehu Adin Dafilu Mitzvah Namedeka. And you know what? Not only is there no Choba by the girl and the boy to support them, but there's not even a mitzvah. Ah, so then why did you say in the Mishnah the word Choba? You should have said there's not even a mitzvah. Ve'aydi debenot nachar mitat avien Choba, because since after the father dies, it becomes a Choba for the estate to support them. So therefore, Tana name eno Hayav. So therefore, use the Lashon Hayav in the Resha. Even though in the Resha, really, not only there's no Hayuv, there's not even a mitzvah to support, not the girls, not the boys. But since at the end of the Mishnah it says that after the father died, there's a chiyuv of the estate, so therefore he used the lashon chiyuv in the resha. So the Mishnah can be according to either of these opinions. Amar Rabbi Ila, Amar Shlakish Mishum Rabbi Yehuda, Bar Hanina, Beusha. In Usha, Usha was one of the places that the Sanhedrin sat. That's where the Skata Gazit, actually the rabbis of the Sanhedrin, exiled 10 different places. As we learned in Masechet Rosh Hashanah, one of the places was called Usha. So there they made several takanot, they made several different establishments in halakha. Hitkinu the takana they made was Shiye Adam Zan et Banav ve'et Benotav Kishehem Ketanim. So they made a takana that what? That a father has to support his children when they are ketanim, even though we learned in the Mishnah that it's no obligation, really, but they made a takana that what? That they should support the children up until when they bring sa'arot, up until they bring hairs, until they mature. Does the halakha follow the practice of Usha, or does it not follow the practice? Which means, is it an obligation now to support the children? When they came in front of Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Lehu, which means when they came to ask him this question, do they have to support the little children? He would tell them like this, Ya'arod Yalda. Ya'arod is the like a whale or a fish. The fish gave birth to children. Ve'abne mata shadya. And they put the panasa of these children on the people of the city. Which means, what are you talking? You had children. You had the children now. And you want to now throw the responsibility of supporting them on the people of the city? So he would tell them that. Now, which is mashma, that the halakha really is not like the rabbis of Usha. Because he didn't tell them halakha, you have to. He would just give them this musar and say, listen, you had the children. The fish had the children. Now you want to throw the support on the city people, on the people of the city? It's maswa that he was just giving them musar, but it's really not mandatory. When they came in front of Rav Chisda and they asked him this question, did they have to support the children? Amar Lehu, he would say like this, Kafule asita. Take the mechteshet. Mechteshet is like the grinder, which was a big grinder. Turned it over and stand on it, b'sibura, in public, v'likum, and stand on it, v'lema, and say in public, which means he would tell the father that was trying to get away from supporting his children, turn over the mortar, stand on it in public, and make the following announcement, urba ba'e b'ne, the ravens support their children, v'ahu gavra lo ba'e b'ne, but this guy does not want to support his children. This father is worse than the raven. Even the raven supports his children. And this father over here does not want to support his children. So the Gemara asks a side question. Does a raven really support his offspring? It says in the Pasuk, that God answers the children of the raven that cry out to him. Implying what? That the father of the raven, the mother raven or the father raven, does not feed the children. Therefore the ravens cry out because they're starving. God answers the sons of the ravens that cry out. So therefore, it sounds like they don't get the support. So Gemara says, La kashya, ha bechiyud, ha beuchme. It depends if they're white or black. Which means when a raven is born, the raven comes, the baby raven is white. And the father and mother are black. And therefore they don't recognize that it's their child. And therefore in the beginning they don't support. And therefore they cry out to God. And Borei Olam brings little worms that come from the excrement of the little raven, and they crawl up into the mouth of the little raven, and he supports himself and lives from that miracle. However, once the little raven turns black, then the child, the mother raven starts to support it. So even the raven supports the child, and you're not going to support your children? When they would come in front of Rava, Amar Leh, he would tell the parents, Ni halach de mitzene banayich mistaka. What, you rather your children get charity? Support them yourself. What do you want to make your children the charity cases? Velo amaran ela delo amid, which means this that we say, that it's really not an obligation for the father to support the children that's talking where he's not wealthy. Aval amid, but if he's wealthy, kafin and le al korhed, and they force him against his will. Because since he's wealthy, he has to give tzedakah. So tzedakah begins at home. So therefore, he has to give his children the mezonot. Ki had the rabba, like the story of rabba, kafyal the rav Natan bar Ameh, he forced rav Natan bar Ameh v'apik mineh, dalid me'an zuzeh l'tzedakah. He forced him to give 400 zuz for tzedakah. And therefore, similarly, if the fellow is rich, so therefore she has to give tzedakah, so they'll force him to give the tzedakah to his children. But you see, it's not a halakha. From all these stories over, you see that the rabbis were just trying to impress upon the father to support the child, but it's not mandatory. Now the Gemara goes on to another halakha that was said in Usha. Amar bi il'a amar shlakish. Be'usha hitkinu in Usha. They made a takana. Kotev kol nechasav lebanav. Let's say a person, when he's alive, he writes all his money to his children, which means when he's alive, he writes, all my money that I have belongs to my sons. Hu ve'ishto nizonim mehem. However, him and his wife still get supported from that money. Even though he inherited from when he was alive, he gave it to his children, still they have to use that money to support the parents, which you shouldn't think that once they get it, they can do whatever they want with it. No, they still have to use that money to support the parents. Matkif na rabbi zera ve'etim arif shumem banahmani. Gedolam izo amru. The Gemara is going to say, what do you have to tell me this takana and Usha? There's a bigger takana that the rabbis established. Let me tell you that takana inside the Gemara. Al menato, a person's widow, nizonet menes nechasav. A widow also gets supported from the nechasim, from the estate. Hu ve'ishto mebaya. Do you have to tell me that they themselves, when they're alive, get support? Now, what is this case exactly that the Gemara is referring to? So the Gemara says, the shalach rabin be'igirte. Rabin sent in a letter the following case. Mi shemet, a fellow died. Father died. V'niyah almana ubat. This is the case we're talking about over here. He left a widow and a daughter. Now, the daughter inherits the estate. The daughter gets the money. Now, the chidush over here is, al minuto, the widow nizonet min nechasav. So the widow still gets from the nechasim, which is really a tanai in the kitubah, like we learned, that when the father dies, so the almana is supported from the kitubah. But the chidush over here is, niset habat. Now let's say the girl got married. So now when the girl gets married, let's understand what happens. She inherited from her father. Now once she gets married, that money is transferred now to her husband. So the chiddush over here is al minuto nizonet minichasav, which means now the husband still has to support the almana. Which is, let's understand what happened in this case over here. He had a guy who was married, and he had a daughter. He died. So who really inherits in that case? The daughter inherits. The law is that still the almana gets supported from the estate. Good. Now what happens? She got married now, the almana. So now that estate is really transferred to her husband. And normally we have a general rule that says that the almana is supported until the property is sold. Once the property is sold, she does not get supported from the property that is sold. And the logic being is because nobody will ever buy property, because if they know there's an almana, they're not going to buy the property, because they're going to have to support the almana from this property. So therefore they made what's called tikkun olam, that once the property is sold, she does not get supported. So over here you have a chiddush. Here the property was transferred from the bat, from the daughter, to her husband. But that's not considered as if it was sold to the husband, because he didn't pay for it. But just by default that he married the daughter, he got that money. So therefore there's no tikkun olam. We're not worried that it's going to come out a problem in this case. But the chiddush over here is that the money was transferred to the husband, and still what? He has to support. And the Gemara goes even further. Meta habat. Let's say the daughter dies now. So now she's out of the picture. Now the money's totally the husband's, her husband's. Amar of Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda ben Achotosh Rabbi Yosef bar Hanina, he said, Al Yadi Haya Maaseh. By me, there was a case like this, that there was almana and a daughter. The money went to the daughter got married, that means the money went to her husband, she died, so now the deen was, Ve'amru Al Menuto Nizonet Minichasav. That still, this guy's a stranger now, which means this is her son-in-law. Still, the money goes to the almana, meaning for support. So the Gemara basically is saying like this, if a total stranger, now the son-in-law has to support, even though he got the estate to him, he still has to support the almana. You have to tell me that when children have money that the father gave them, certainly they have to support the mother and the father. If a total stranger, that the money went to them, to him legally, still we say that he has to support. Certainly the children have to support the mother and father when they were alive. So comes the Gemara and says, Mao de Tema, you would have thought like this. Hatam hu deleka de tarah. Yeah, over there, by the case of the almana, the reason why the son-in-law, even though it's his money, he has to support her, because she can't go to work. Where is she going to make parnasa? She can't work. Therefore, you have no choice to support her. But over here, in the case where the father gave his estate to the children, let him go to work and support himself and his wife. He's still alive, he can still work. So the chiddush is, even so, he does not have to go to work, he gets supported from the estate. So therefore that was the takana in Usha. Now let's read again, since we just said some laws over here that are new, let's read the Rashis over here, starting from Gedola Mizu Amru. Bigdola Mizu Amru. Okay, go on. Almana Ubat. You have a almana, a widow, and a daughter. Viniseta Bat. And the daughter got married. She'afa pishihu met. Now even though when the father died, v'anichasim shtabidu lelokeyah. Now what? The nechasim, they went to the lokeah, which means they went to this husband now. The rabbanan kegon baal benichse ishto vekaymalan en motziim lemazon aisha menichasim meshubadim, which means normally once already there's a piece of land that's sold, we don't use that for supporting the almana. Afilu achecha deleka lemechashit tikun haolam kegon ki hay lokeah, like this husband that married the daughter, shelotzi maot, he didn't pay money for it, so therefore we're not worried about him being upset that he paid money. Now they're using taking for the almana. So shavinu rabbanan ki yoresh. So they treat the husband of the daughter like an inheritor, just like the inheritors have to support the almana. So we consider like he inherited that money, and therefore he also has to support the almana. כי עד שלח לבין בגלתה ניסית בת אלפלגה ואמור הבנן בעל בנכסה אשתו לוקח. Even though now it's considered that the husband is a lokeach, which means it's like he bought the property וקיימלן אין מוצאין למזון האישה מנכסים משובדים. We do not take money for the almana from properties that have a lien on it, which means properties that are now were sold and bought. Again, we said that they treat this transaction that when the bat, when the daughter marries the husband, we consider it like he's yoresher, and therefore the Gemara, she says, "Mishum pesedah the almana." We don't want the almana to lose out. So the Gemara says, and then Gemara goes even further, where the daughter dies, so now she's out of the picture. And it's the son-in-law. The guy's a total stranger, and still he has to support the almana. So therefore, you see, Kol Shekhan V'Chomer, in a case where the father and the mother, they should be supported by the estate. So comes the Gemara and says, "Ibayinu hilcheta kevate, or let hilcheta kevate." Does the halakha follow this law or not? Which means halakha lemaaseh, a person gets all his money over to his children, which is really he's giving them a matana. Now, normally, when a person gets a matana, that's like a transaction. And normally we say that once a person transacted and bought something, he's not obligated, there's no liens on those items to support the parents, to support anybody. So therefore, technically you could argue and say, maybe the halakha doesn't follow this. Maybe once the father gave it over as a gift, it's like he transacted, it's like he sold it to them, and there's no liens on those properties, because otherwise nobody will ever buy anything from anybody. And we have a law that says matana is like a mechir. And therefore, since matana, a gift is like a transaction, it's like they bought it, so maybe you'll say that the halakha says the children do not have to support the parents. So the Gemara wants to know, is the halakha like this or not? So the Gemara tells a story. Tashema, Rabbi Hanina, Rabbi Yonatan, Abu Kaime. Ata, Rabbi Yonatan, and Rabbi Hanina, they were standing. Ata, Ugavra, a certain fellow came, Gahim, Vinashkel, Rabbi Yonatan, Karai. He went and he kissed Rabbi Yonatan's feet. Amar le Rabbi Hanina. So Rabbi Hanina tells Rabbi Yonatan, "My hai, what is he doing, this guy? Why is he kissing your feet?" Amar le, he says, "This guy over here, kotev nechasav lebanavu. He wrote all his money to his children. Ve'asitinu lezaneh. And I forced the children to support him from the money. And therefore he loves me because I take care of him." So comes the Gemara and says, "Iyamar b'shtama lav dina." If you say that the halacha is not like this takana, that really the children do not have to support the father when he gives them the money when he's alive, mishumacheh asyinu. That's why he had to force the children because they were doing above and beyond the law. Ela iyamar dina. But if you're saying that is the law, asyinu ba'e, which means, what did he have to force them? He just should have said that that's the halakha. And the father would not owe the rabbi any favors because he's just enforcing the halakha. It must be that the halakha really is, they don't have to support. And therefore, the reason why he had to talk to the rabbi is because of the way he forced the children to go above and beyond the letter of the law. So you see, the halakha does not follow the takana of Usha, of this takana, this last takana that we said, and therefore, indeed, the children do not have to support the parents when they give them the money, because it's like they sold it to them, and anything that has a sale, so there's no shi'abu, there's no liens that have to support the parents as well. Baruch Adonai le'olam, amen ve'amen.